Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Now Europe with Alicia and Josh. I am your co-host, Josh, alongside my partner in crime, my trusted Liverpudlian, I believe is how they say that, friend, Miss Alicia De Artola.
Hello, everybody. I am good. You know, Thursday and Friday were like the only 2 days of this entire month that didn't involve like soccer action, and it felt super weird. So waking up early this Saturday morning to catch the knockout rounds of the Euros, just it felt like the world was set back to rightness, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this has been – I love major tournaments. I truly do. Like, I know that not everybody is into Copa America. I didn't watch this fake one because I will watch Argentina-Chile in the final. I'll watch the hell out of that. But, you know, the real Copa America, not a lot of people were actually watching that last year. You know, I remember my Twitter timeline being fairly dead. I was, like, the only person commenting on some of the games. And, you know,
for some reason that one passed me by, and like I should be, there's no reason I wouldn't be interested in it, but I think the attention that this tournament got in the U.S. being in the U.S. sort of sparked it up for me. So I'm certain that the next one I'll pay a lot more attention to, even if, you know, USA isn't involved in it.
And it was riveting soccer, man. Like straight out Chile, like gave somebody an oil check to win a game for strategically, like, a very strategic yellow card. I mean, a finger went up the butt in that game. Like, it was great theater, man. Like,
if you don't already watch soccer, that's the reason to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that entire moment in Chile-Uruguay was just, it was pure gold. Like, it was straight gold. My video of that must have gotten, I think, like 300 retweets in that. And I'm not even sure, because back then you couldn't count quoted retweets, or I didn't know how to. But I'm sure there were many more of those, and not to mention just straight out getting jacked to the video. That was just great theater. So I'm interested to see how Argentina approached Chile this time. Chile gave them fits last time, but it did go to penalties. So I kind of wonder if it's not going to go to penalties again, but that's not why we're here. We are here to talk about Europe. So let's quickly kind of go through, if you will, some of the games that we haven't got a chance to talk about because I went on vacation and then Alicia had dates with her brother that she couldn't get out of. So it's been a while since we recorded, and we do apologize for that, but we're here now, so suck it. The first one, Alicia, and I hate to bring it up because I'm sure it's a sore spot, but it's definitely what we're talking about, Croatia versus Spain. I'll ask your thoughts being a Spain fan.
Yeah, I think it was a classic case of what the men in Blazers call scoring too early. I think Spain got into this mental trap where they thought, well, we score right away. This is just going to be easy. It's going to be a breeze, and we're going to sort of float our way through. Croatia didn't buy into that, and Croatia kept fighting and fighting and fighting, and it got to a point where it was like watching it going, well, Spain, when are you going to wake up and realize that if you don't get a second goal here, that Croatia, you're just letting them back into this game. And as soon as Croatia tied it up, it kind of felt like it's the inevitability of Croatia.
Which is a great goal, by the way.
To
tie it, man. It kind of came out of nowhere, and at the same time, not. You know, like I think that particular goal was against the run of play, but prior to that, Croatia had really been piling on the pressure, and this is just sort of a byproduct of all of that, and then the goal just
right.
happened.
Yeah, I totally agree with the way you described that, too, because it's not that it was like Croatia was turning the screw in the traditional sense. Spain had sort of kept some possession and felt, you know, in control of the game in a really just lackadaisical kind of way. But Croatia had been getting closer and closer and closer to scoring. So when it happened, it was like, well, that had been coming in a psychological sense. And I think just Spain got caught napping really in the end. In that second half, Spain didn't look like they really turned it on until after Croatia scored a late goal. And then, you know, Spain has 2-3 minutes to try and scramble and pull back a goal of their own. And that's when you really saw them, you know, turn up the energy levels, and they got a few decent attacks in the final few minutes. But, you know, you can't rely on just a couple minutes to score. So it was, I hope, you know.
Mentioned, too, was what the hell was that from Sergio Ramos?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like.
I'm curious what was said, too, though. Like, I'm super curious what he said, what that defender said to Subasic prior to that PK. Because it seemed like he whispered in his ear. And granted, Subasic came off his line, which I think was why Mark Klattenberg in the previous game with Poland and the Swiss said, like, hey, look, if you guys come off your line, it's going to be a yellow. Kickers, if you stutter step, it's going to be a yellow. Like, I think that warning was a direct result of him coming off his line to make that save. But even if he doesn't come off his line, the kick still goes straight to him. He didn't need to come off his line.
It was a horrible penalty take, but it was also...
Why was he taking it?
Okay, yeah. Okay, question number one, why was Ramos the one who took it? Question number two, I mean, it's not really a question. I can't even get all that upset about that, how horrible that kick was, because I don't think it was a penalty to begin with. I thought it was an exceedingly weak penalty to give. So it felt very much like a ball don't lie.
Especially because on the other end, they didn't give it to Croatia, and it very much was a penalty. And you're like, well, that's kind of crap that Spain got this.
And I'm almost semi... I mean, the crushing part of this is that Spain not winning that game means that they are on the death side of the bracket. But at the same time, like, if Spain had... let's say Spain gets that weak penalty, Ramos buries it, and they get out of there with a draw or a win. You know, I don't know that Spain would have deserved that from the entirety of the game. I think the result, Spain looked really good in the first 15, 20 minutes, but, you know, that's not the end result of the game. And I think, from start to finish, Croatia deserved their result more than Spain did. And maybe it's just a thing where Spain can realize that, you can't let your intensity fall that much, and you can't take things for granted the way that Ramos seemed to take that penalty.
And you can't just assume that you're going to out-possession, like, teams kicking the ball around. Like, you have to be incisive with it, or they're eventually just going to press you down and take the damn ball from you. Like, we've gotten to a world where tiki-taka is not quite as feared as it was. You have to – that's why there's this evolution of what Guardiola's done with it. You need to – total football has returned. You can't just kick it around.
Well, and that's the thing. It does have to be total football, and aimless possession only works if you defend really well when you don't have the ball. Like – aimless possession only works if you guys are on top of keeping the ball out of the net on the other side of things. And, you know, when Croatia goals,
they have one of the best defenses in the tournament.
Right.
I mean, on paper.
But what are you doing giving up 2 goals?
On paper, look, if you gave me a choice, I'm obviously taking the Italian defense first. Like, I don't think anybody would argue differently.
Yeah.
But choice B, I would take Spain over Belgium because Spain actually has fullbacks playing the role of fullbacks and center backs playing the role of center backs.
Well, and they've played together so long.
Yeah. And most of these guys play on the same damn club team, too.
Right.
And if not, they're direct rival. So the understanding is there at every single level. And I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I thought Croatia showed a lot without Modric and Mandzukic. Like, neither
one
made
crumbled.
An appearance in that game. And Rakitic, it was largely up to him to sort of shoulder and get things done. And I thought that he did an admirable job. And the defense between Chorluka and Serna was just incredible going down that left-hand side. Like, they were almost impenetrable after giving up that goal. So it'll be curious to see how far Croatia can take this with a healthy Modric, because Spain is a favorite and they still somehow fell victim to a Croatia team that really battled their way back in that game.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this before. The theme of this tournament is battling and the sort of sum of your parts being greater than the individuals and all that. And Croatia, that team spirit that they were able to pull out in a game where, you know, it's very easy to crumble when you give up a goal that early in a game. I mean, you look at what has happened to a lot of other teams. I mean, most recently in my memory, like what happened to the U.S. with Argentina, you give up a goal that early and you just sort of like shrug your shoulders and give up. You know, no one would have questioned Croatia if you know, they just sort of sat back and let Spain get a 1-0 win, but Croatia came out and kept fighting and showed the rewards that can come when you just are relentless. So it was a very, very good result for Croatia. And I think, you mentioned off air, I think Croatia has to be one of your dark horse teams, considering the context
of
what side of the bracket they're on.
Too.
Yeah. And not like a Belgium, who's the number two team in the world, dark horse, like a legitimate dark horse, unexpected a team who can come out of this thing. I mean, you have to think that their road to a semifinal to a final is pretty
quite
possible
favorable.
Once you get there, anything happens. Yeah, and once you get to that game, you know, anything can happen in an individual game. So they have set themselves up greatly, and honestly, they deserve to be on that side of the bracket because they took that final game seriously and didn't leave it to chance.
And speaking of teams that took things seriously, Iceland.
Good old Iceland.
All right, I heard a staggering statistic yesterday. Do you know what Iceland's average possession is over every single one of their games? Do you know what their average possession is? Take a guess.
Possession is always closer to 50-50 than I think it is, so I'm going to go 40?
No.
It's lower than that? 30?
Oh, lower.
Lower than 30?
Yeah.
25.
A little bit higher. Iceland have averaged about 27 to 28% possession.
That's outrageous.
Per game. This is a team that knows when they step on the field that they're going to be playing defense and a lot of it. And when they get their chances, they know that they have to take them, and they are. Austria, I just think that they flat out were overrated. I mean, just pure, plain, and simple, people overrated
yep.
that team. Like, that, they look like a bad MLS team out there. No idea what it was, but it was not dark horse football, I'll tell you that.
They were dark horses because you recognize some of the – like, normal, you know, average football fan can look at the team sheet and think, oh, I recognize that dude, except that, you know, that dude plays for Stoke. So
Right. Or that dude this year played for a team that most people had never even heard of in their life.
Right.
You know, oh, but now.
Or, yeah, used to be.
Yeah, used to be anonymous, but now Leicester City and Fuchs. No Fuchs given. No Fuchs were given by Iceland as they beat Austria 2-1, scoring a goal at the death to knock them out of the tournament. Rather humiliatingly, I might add, because there's not much worse than Iceland knocking you out of a tournament on the final kick of the game. Yeah, I don't think that this is a team that can win it all or even really make a final, but I think that they've got one or two more quality performances in them that could make it a nightmare tonight. Like, I think I heard it best where I would not be shocked. Oh, wow, Ivan Perisic, that is a hairdo, buddy. I would not be shocked if Iceland beat England, nor do I think anyone in the world would be shocked if England had an early exit at the hands of a team like Iceland.
It would be the most England thing ever, wouldn't it? I was a little bit bummed out when Iceland. I was not bummed out that Iceland won. That's a great, probably the best moment of the tournament. And the call from the Icelandic announcer was just pure radio gold. But Iceland winning meant that Iceland ended up on the really tough side of the bracket against England instead of the more favorable side of the bracket against Croatia, which we both agree are a dark horse team. But
I think anybody with eyes would agree to that. It's not really you and I agreeing. I think this is a worldly consensus. The right side of the bracket is the side to beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. So Iceland ends up on the wrong side of the bracket. But in a weird way, them getting matched up against England, a footballing nation that has just like a mental block when it comes to tournament football, at least in the last 20 years. So, you know, if there's any team that's going to crap the bed against Iceland, it's going to be a Roy Hodgson-led England. So I am very much looking forward to that game and seeing what kind of, like, performance Iceland can put in and seeing how does England respond to being prohibitive favorites in that game but still having this like, monkey on their back about advancing through in these tournaments and playing to their full potential. That is going to be a doozy of a game.
Oh, I can't wait for it. I can't wait for the press if England loses. excessive of an upset. Another team won at the death. Another team from the British Isles in Ireland who took down an Italy that you could pretty much say didn't give a damn. Like, Italy had, they'd already won their group. Didn't matter what happened that game, Italy knew that their first opponent was going to be Spain. So they knew where they were headed. The performance, I think, resembled a team that knew where they were headed and didn't care. And not to take anything away from Ireland, because it's not like England went out there and said, okay, here, beat us. I mean, they still played. They didn't put out a lineup that you would think, yeah, if Italy wanted to win three in a row and just, you know, dominate and show that they could have. But they chose to give some players the rest. And, you know, in hindsight, it looks like a shrewd move. So congrats to Ireland for pulling that one out. But that game was kind of subdued by the whirlwind of a game that was Hungary versus Portugal, which included one Cristiano Ronaldo actually scoring a goal, but still over a lifetime in with free kicks. Like, I don't understand how that dude is still allowed to take free kicks.
I mean, because he's Cristiano Ronaldo and he's on Portugal. But, I mean, who needs free kicks when you can finish a goal with a back heel like that? I don't like the man, but my God, that was a pretty wonderful goal that Ronaldo scored in a pretty wonderful game. Like that game was as close to basketball as soccer could possibly be. Just back and forth and back and forth. Oh, you got a goal? Oh, I get a goal. Oh, you got a goal? Oh, I get a goal. It was a joy to watch. And yeah, that watching those games concurrently was just like a bizarre kind of
I don't understand why they aired every single game except for like these last 2 days where they're like, oh, y'all play at once. What's up?
It's because the idea being that if both teams, if everyone knows what everyone else needs, like if you know, knowing if you need a draw or a win can affect the way that you play. So they play them at the same time so that you can't like, well, oh, we just need a draw, so we'll just shut up shop.
I get you.
Which in the modern age, like, which I understand, but at the same time, like the order that the games come in matter, because like, for instance, Ireland getting an Italy team that didn't need anything from that game certainly helped Ireland as compared to who was it that that didn't advance from that group? Like the Ukraine or Turkey or whoever it was. Who was Group E? Sweden. Sweden getting Belgium on the last day. If Sweden had faced an Italy team that didn't come out, like that had made 8 changes and all that, would Sweden have been able to get a win in advance as opposed to Ireland? So, like, the timing of these games is already affecting who moves on. So while I understand why they play them concurrently, I also don't know that it's as necessary as it sort of comes off as. But that's a tangent. Sorry. Continue. Go on.
Oh, no. I mean, it hearing that, it makes total sense. And I don't have an issue with it because I'd hate to see a bunch of soccer played basically because you're trying to achieve a result instead of everybody sort of having to play and do your best.
I think it was like Austria and like Germany or someone were involved in a famous draw where they both advanced so long as they both got a point. So they kicked the ball around the center circle for 90 minutes.
Yeah, I would, if I were an opposing team, I would have bought a ticket to that game at halftime and ran out there and I think decked. I would have. I mean, poor sportsmanship be damned. Like, if a team's going to do that, like, I'm going to go out there and it's sort of like, beaming a batter, you know, like, hey, I'm going to charge the mound. But speaking of knockouts, earlier today, a couple teams wound up going home. We had a barn burner between Wales and Northern Ireland that saw Wales advance via really what amounts to a nightmarish own goal for the Irish, Northern Irish. There's not much that they could have done about that. Like, the defender had to do something, otherwise that ball falls to, his name is escaping me right now.
Was it Ramsey? I don't remember who it was on the back post, but
Robson Cano or whatever.
Yes.
It would have fallen to him, so he has to make a play on it. So the result ends up being an own goal. Really, the problem there is that the keeper probably should have come off his line a little and sniped that ball out of the air or punched it, or leaving it to the defender really put him in a no-win situation. And then Poland and Switzerland played to a 1-1 draw, which saw Switzerland nearly grab it at the end of regulation, and then they went on to lose in penalties 4-5. Newly signed Arsenal man Granit Xhaka missed probably the worst penalty I have ever seen. I mean, to miss as badly as he missed is something special. Like, he missed like me on FIFA.
He missed like somebody on FIFA who like isn't paying attention and like holds down the B button, if they're playing Xbox, holds down the B button for like 5 minutes and then lets go, and then it just flies to the left. I've seen bad misses that go too high, that go out of the stratosphere. I don't think I've ever seen a ball miss that wide on a penalty. Like, it was such a bad miss that I didn't see the ball because of the shadows. Like, the ball just disappeared out of frame. And you're just like, where did it go?
It took me a second to realize what happened. I'm like, did he make that? And I'm like, oh, no, the ball completely missed the goal and went into the stand. How is that possible? It's like he ran up to it and just kicked it sideways. Like, I don't. It's almost like a Jesus, not a shot. now upcoming, we have Croatia versus Portugal, which we're going to try and get through this. We may budge into it a little, but we are going to try and wrap up timely. How do you see this one playing out?
I think Croatia as a team is probably good enough to advance here. The wild card is going to have to be Ronaldo. If Ronaldo has a moment of brilliance, then it's very hard to account for that. But I don't know that Portugal can rely on him to carry them in a sense. So I'll put my money on Croatia's team coming together, and I think Modric is available for this game. I know that
not only is
about...
he available, he is in the starting 11.
Well, then there you go. I think Croatia. Maybe I'll look silly, and Portugal will have won like 5-0. but I gotta go with Croatia here. Portugal as a team just doesn't.
Yeah, they
do
don't do
for
it.
Me.
I don't really see any point in taking up much more time and. Their uniforms are gorgeous. I love these, like, I'm not even sure what color green that is. It's like a chartreuse or something. But seafoam green, these uniforms that they're wearing today are among the best in the tournament. But, yeah, Portugal are just unimpressive as a team. Ronaldo is Ronaldo, will be Ronaldo, but I do think that Croatia have the defense to deal with him. He may have several moments of brilliance, but if Croatia defend as they have shown themselves capable of defending, and if Modric runs the game like he shows he can, I just think that Modric, Rakitic, and Mandzukic would be really... I'm kind of predicting a Pepe red card.
That's a fair thing to predict in every match that Pepe is involved in. So you may be on point there.
So very briefly, interestingly enough, though, Croatia's fans have been trying to sabotage them at the tournament. They issued a warning to Dutch referee Bjorn Kuipers, I believe, a couple days ago, saying that they were going to attack him on the 30-minute mark, though nothing even happened in that game. Croatia's been turning these people in. It's not actual Croatian fans so much as it's people there dressed as Croatian fans with the sole intent of trying to get Croatia disqualified from the tournament because they don't like the way that the program is being run. even though we're sitting here talking about them as a possible victor of this tournament, they
right.
still hate it. I won't pretend to understand it, but I'm not going to dismiss it either because I don't know the first thing about Croatian politics. So
yeah, I mean, we talk all the time about how corrupt FIFA is and how corrupt a lot of these FAs are. The Croatian FA is, you know, apparently some of the people running it are just very corrupt, and I totally believe it. But I don't think that that means that the best way to respond to it is by the tactics that some of these
denying
sort of,
the players.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's just really the wrong way to go about it. It's a dangerous way to go about it. It's a destructive way to go about it. So, it's not a good look. Croatia is clearly doing what it can to round these up, but
which begs the question, what the hell are the security at these stadiums doing? Like, because they're not doing their jobs.
How many flares have ended up in these stadiums? Like, you look at the pure number of flares and other dangerous objects that have ended up in these stadiums, and you really do have to question, what kind of checks they're doing going into these matches, because I mean, flares are not safe things. They're relatively safe, but if people are getting flares like that in, they could be getting a whole lot of other stuff in, and that is extremely, extremely concerning, particularly in a country in France that just recently had a sporting, within the past year, had a sporting event targeted specifically by political extremists, that these sports extremists are getting their sort of, for lack of a better term, like weapons of destruction in there.
It is fair to mention here that this, wow, look at the number of yellow cards in Croatia. It is fair to mention that the only reason those extremists didn't get into the stadium is because they were turned away by security, which is why they set off the bombs outside of it.
Right.
So
this is the France Germany.
So in that sense, security has been doing their job, and you certainly want to give them ups for that. But there seems to be, and I get it from even the media has chimed in and said, like, look, though, we do get it, because short of having a line 5 hours long, like, there's only so much that you can do. And hearing a media member stand up for security saying that, was kind of eye-opening, because there's a certain amount of truth in that. You know, fans sit there and say, oh, you should be doing more. But then if we're standing in a line that's moving one person at a time trying to get into a stadium, we don't feel the same way. You know, it's like, what the hell are you doing? You're holding a kickoff. And so I get it.
Right.
You know, it's really a lose-lose proposition for security. I think the thing that to focus on and wrap this, we got a couple things that we'll do here and then we'll wrap up. I think the thing that you can say is that I've been encouraged by the amount of fans policing these people. And
yes,
you just hope that continues, because security can't be expected to do everything. But fans, society, we're often the best form of policing by policing each other. And you just hope that continues.
Totally agree.
So I'm going to run down the knockouts forthcoming, and I'm going to name the game, and you give me a winner and a very brief explanation of why, and I will do the same. Like one sentence. All right, so France versus Ireland, who wins and why?
France, because Dimitri Payet.
Fair enough. France should win this game.
I just
feel like somebody is going to get upset, and it's going to be the French. So it might as well be a defensive team like Ireland that does it. I'm going to pick Ireland for the sake of picking Ireland, but my head says France is likely going to win this game. Germany versus Slovakia. Do we need to spend much time here?
Germany, because Slovakia, to be quite honest.
Slovakia played very well. It's just Germany.
Yeah, they're just outmatched. Like, it's Germany. Germany is not going to... You know, I agree. France could be upset because of the moment. I don't think Germany... Like, Germany will lose later on if they lose. Like, this is not the moment that they will lose.
Yeah, Germany is going to get knocked out by some team down the line that just plays a brilliant game. But it ain't going to be Slovakia, I don't believe. Hungary versus Belgium. I am actually going to take Hungary in this because... Hungary have played as a team every single time that I have seen them. In Belgium, I do not care about their win. That win means nothing to me. They still did not look good. So I am taking Hungary.
I'm actually completely with you. Hungary has been one of the surprises of the tournament. They've looked in sync. They've looked disciplined. They've looked organized. And Belgium have looked anything but. Belgium still look like a collection of good players who don't know how to play together. So, yeah, I like Hungary in this game.
I will save the best for last. So the next one is England versus Iceland.
As much as I would love to pick Iceland, Iceland have been a wonderful story, but they've also gotten very lucky, I think. They were... lucky not to concede several times over pretty much all of their games. England has too much firepower. They might screw the pooch, but I just could not sit here and tell you that Iceland's going to win this game. I think England should and will.
I want to disagree because it would be compelling radio, but I am not of the mindset that Iceland take their chances well, but if you can see that much to a team like England with that much firepower, and to be honest, their goalkeeper has faced the most amount of shots of anybody in the tournament. If you allow that with a team like England with as much firepower as they have, the law of averages dictates something's going to go in. And if you don't have the ability to get forward, and I know Iceland have found that, eventually that sort of luck runs out. Well, maybe Greece rode it all the way to a win in 2004. I suppose it could happen. But I think Iceland play very, very, very well and concede late. That really sucks for them.
It's going to be heartbreaking. Yeah, I could see that too.
All right, finally, Italy versus Spain. Who do you have?
I am going with Spain because I am of Spanish descent and I have to believe that Spain can sort of there's too many good players on Spain. I think if anyone can break down the Italian defense, Spain might be able to work something in. I don't have a ton of confidence in Spain's ability to score goals, but Spain will just knock on the door and knock on the door, and I think they may have enough quality to get through. But I am exceedingly worried about this game as a Spain fan. So,
yeah, I go back and forth on this one. Like, I think Spain will win, but Italy play tactically sound football, and that seems to be what gives Spain problems, are when teams can change up their tactics and create small, short, incisive runs with crisp passing, and if there's any team that can do that, it's Italy. So, you just look at what Bonucci was able to create and out of basically nowhere, and you just don't want to discount Italy because they have that sort of quality about them.
Italy is the kind of team that Spain didn't want
to
go
to penalty kicks.
You know what? That's probably, that's a good shout.
And that's and I think Spain will win because they've got the quality to take those PKs, whereas Italy have a lot of youngsters who are not necessarily, you know, ice in the veins PK takers. So that's the best that I can come up with. Like, I think this one will go to PKs. I think both teams will score a goal and we'll end up in PKs.
I believe that is probably as close to a perfect prediction as one could get. So, bravo to you.
Perfect. So the final thing that we have to talk about here is, now that you've seen, we know where the brackets are, we know at least a couple of teams that have advanced to the quarterfinals, who do you see winning this thing?
The way that the brackets are, honestly, and I'm still not certain about any team. I really haven't been convinced by any one team. But the way that the brackets play out, for some reason, the more I look at it, the more I see Germany being the strongest on the death side of the bracket, getting to the final, and then being able to beat anyone who comes out of the other side. So it's almost like in the NBA Finals when you make it through the West. And this is not a good example this year because the Warriors lost, but you know, the team that makes it through the West is almost always the stronger team. Let's go back to say last year, the Warriors make it through and then beat the Cavs in the final out of the East, the weaker East. Germany is that really strong team on the really strong side of the bracket. They have recent experience in a big tournament, and they're the only ones I feel confident if I had to pick a winner for this whole thing, because everyone else, that's such tough sledding getting through on that side.
You see, I think that somebody on the right side can win this tournament, because I think that you will get enough quality competition from teams that you'll have earned it. It won't be a walk through. But at the same time, I don't think that they'll be hit with as many injuries and card accumulation as some of these other teams. I think Germany are slow, and I think that that's going to add up in the later rounds, especially if they happen to go against quicker teams. I do think that they can be exposed at the back. I think they have been exposed at the back, and I think that they're prone to cynical fouls at times, and you just wonder, with having to go through that kind of a gauntlet, what kind of card accumulation is going to play a role in availability for the final, or even injuries for that matter. Certainly your money would be on anybody from the left side of the bracket, because there are any number of major crowns, whereas the right side of the bracket has a grand total of zero titles. But if a team like Croatia makes it through, I'm not at all convinced that on their best day, Germany, you know, are unbeatable for a team like Croatia. I think that if you have a strong enough midfield and your team can play well enough as a unit, that any number of things can happen. And all you need is a little luck, man. All you need is the right player to pick up a yellow card so that they're not as aggressive. And, you know, you feel like you could probably get that against Boateng early and change the complexion of what Germany want to do and how aggressive they can be on defense. And Croatia have certainly shown themselves capable of getting into the heads of their opponents and drawing up cards. So it'll be curious to see what happens. But I don't know, man. I think Spain are still the team to beat. I know that they lost recently, but I think that kind of can galvanize a team, and Del Bosque has more than enough coaching experience and also experiencing managing huge egos that he can sort of steady the boat with Spain and guide them through this tournament.
I think with Spain, they'll either lose to Italy or they'll win the whole thing.
Yeah, see,
if you get Italy,
it's downhill from there, right?
Right, exactly. And they'd still have to face some tough teams, but the toughest of those teams in terms of matchup is definitely Italy.
Defensively, if you can get through Italy, the confidence of your team has to go through the roof. If you break down a team like Italy, you all of a sudden look at Germany and say, all right, well, we can win this game. So, and I do think there's something to be said for playing, you know, that kind of a matchup in as your first game. I think it sort of gives you the confidence, and also it's sort of like just jumping into the pool instead of wading in. You just sort of get it over with. You're in the knockout stage. You've played it with a team that will scrap and claw you to the death. And you are well aware of how much it means to each nation at this stage. And some other teams might be adjusting to that a little bit later on, you know, having to cope with the intensity of the tournament as it gets later. But you're not going to get much more intense than an Italian defense. And if you pick that apart in your first game and you're able to have success early, it's certainly – and if you can keep the ball off of them too and prevent a counterattack, yeah, it's got to give you all kinds of confidence in the world, because Spain knows they can win a tournament with a string of 1-0 victories. They're not worried about that.
For sure. It's just, you know, getting through that kind of style, it does set everything else in motion. But even though I picked Spain to win that game, I think that is the most 50-50 game of this first, you know, round of 16. And that game may have the biggest effect on the rest of the tournament, because, you know, if Italy goes through in that game, is Italy the one that's looking out and seeing, well, we can win 1-0. We can get through this with 1-0 wins and great defense. And all of these other, you know, teams that maybe have more attacking ability, will they be able to break us down? Will they be able to break through our defense? So, you know, funnily enough, like whichever way that game goes, that could be the way that the winner of the entire tournament goes in a weird way, even though Italy, is it fair to count Italy almost as a dark horse? Because
I mean,
they weren't really being...
If they get some momentum, like, look, if they get past Spain, that same conversation we had about Spain gaining confidence, if you're the Italians, how confident do you feel eliminating the current crown holders, you know? You have to feel fairly good about yourself.
Right, exactly.
And who would their next matchup be if they got through?
I would be the winner of Germany, Slovakia.
So your next matchup would be, let's just assume it's Germany. If you got through Spain, how much confidence are you going to have, especially if Slovakia, you know, kind of give Germany a solid showing? I'm just curious to see how, I mean, look, Germany haven't exactly been clinical in front of goal, and with a guy like Goetze leading their line, I would favor Italy's defense in that game. Like, I would expect Italy to be able to catch Germany on a mistake or a counter, because they've not been the crispest of teams this tournament. You know, we haven't seen that sort of fluidity that you're used to seeing from German football.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, which is why, like, I feel like I just keep expecting Germany to wake up and something to click for them, because even in the World Cup, I didn't feel completely convinced by them until the end. So I'm sort of almost going by that standard of well, Germany, the machine is just going to get through because that's what the Germans
They
do.
Have no fullbacks and they have no strikers. That is a terrifying proposition when you're saying go win a major tournament against some teams. Like, if you sort of look at what Italy did to Belgium and how far they stretched them, that was by design. If you're Italy and you get Germany, why don't you push them out wide and then beat them with speed? You know you're faster than them. I mean, and if you can go up on them, it changes the way the game is played. And it's like somebody joked, and we sort of borrowed it and laughed on here, somebody tweeted, you know, you wish you loved something as much as Italy loves defending a 1-0 lead. Like, it's so true. So all you got to do is score one goal, and I don't think that's as dangerous a proposition against this Germany team as it was in 2014.
That is true. I agree.
All right. Well, with that, I think it's a good place to wrap it up. You can catch us on Twitter. Alicia is at Penguin of Troy. I am at Fight on Twist. And we will convene after, let's say, this round of games. We'll do this again for the quarterfinals.
Sounds
and we won't
perfect.
Have to talk about two games. Because we'll have already done it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll have a pool of, what, six games?
Yep.
Yeah. Six games to dive deep into. Hopefully some good results in there.
Yeah, hopefully more exciting than Wales versus Northern Ireland.
Well, I mean, it was involving Wales and Northern Ireland. So.
Fair enough. And with that, we will say our goodbyes. This has been another episode of Now You're Up with Alicia and Josh.